from WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. This is the Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Here's your host, Dave Edwards.
And we'd like to welcome you, Mark, back to WUWM. Happy New Year to you.
Thanks, Dave. Happy New Year to you.
Always good to have you here. And now that we are in a brand new year, people always do several things. They look forward, they look back, they make New Year's resolutions. Let's start by kind of looking back at 2016. It was quite a year for higher education and for UWM in particular. A lot of challenges and a lot of movement forward. As you reflect back on the last year, what are some of the things that you think about?
You're right. I have done that reflection. I have done the looking ahead and goal setting. But as I look back at 2016 and think about the highlights, there's not been a year that has been as remarkable for us in terms of the highlight of becoming a Research One Carnegie-ranked institution. There's nothing that says success more than that. It means so much about the quality of the faculty that we have. What truly remarkable institution. That, of course, comes on the heels of the previous year, us being recognized as a Carnegie Engaged University. But this really truly puts us in an elite group of universities, top 115 in the country out of 4,665. Other things that happened last year include how we had in our physics department, we had the acclaim of being part of the LIGO group's work on confirming Einstein's theory of gravitational waves. We had three NSF institutional instrumentation grants. That's almost unheard of. Two in physics, one in chemistry. These are remarkable accomplishments. We have become so recognized on so many different fronts in 1 year, from a heart healthy campus, a bike friendly campus, to so many other types of partnerships and development areas. On the fundraising front, $29 million in continued contributions on the philanthropic side. We have healthcare, education, business, nonprofit, government partnerships that are off the charts in terms of the impact. One of the notable accomplishments is our new, what we launched last year is our Institute for Children and Family Well-Being with Children's Hospital, and that has received significant millions of dollars in federal funding for really looking at some of the challenges, some of the chronic issues that affect children in Milwaukee. And we know, just like what we've been able to announce recently with the work that we're doing, that's being recognized. It's our ABC initiative, adolescent brain cognitive development work. We know the impact of adverse situations in childhood, and to study that and then design and develop interventions. These are the kind of engagements that UWM makes every day, and they're just phenomenal. So we also have last year celebrated our 60th anniversary, and that will continue because we count this one in academic years. So it was really in such a short time with a lean amount of resources have accomplished so much. We've had Ann Basting recognized as a MacArthur Foundation Genius Grant recipient. So we now have our own formal genius. We've known many of our faculty and staff are geniuses, but this one to be officially recognized is a great thing. And at the same time, as you mentioned, there have been challenges. There's no question higher education today is just in a sea change. Everything from a financial model that really isn't working anymore to demographics that are headwind, against us, and the changing role of technology, and even more fundamentally, questions about the role of higher education and the investment, whether it's the state or federal level, just those types of challenges, as well as free speech issues that are rifling across campuses in just profound ways. Nationally, we're seeing as was documented in Time Magazine of May 2016. Campuses have not had the types of issues, the unrest and really microcosms of what's happening in a larger society in this manner since the 1960s. So this is what our future, our past really does predict much of what we're going to see in 2017.
Mm-hmm. Boy, it's too bad that's all you had going on. It was such a quiet year on campus. Well, let me back you up a little bit, because I know one of the things we've spent a fair amount of time talking about on this program in past months about college affordability and accessibility, and I know both of those are things that, that UWM, that, that your administration committed to early on.
Yeah.
As you look at 2016, are you happy with the progress you're making in those areas?
You know, UWM's mission is unique in that we are about access. We are that campus that provides the open doors that have led to success for so many people at an affordable price point. But what you get is also a remarkable education. 177,000 people that have gone to UWM that have graduated that have achieved just great things on a global impact, people in this community, people in the state and around the world. So I look at that combination of affordability and access as something that we've made good progress. Our retention rates for students are strong. We graduated over 5,000 individuals that went into the workforce in this area for the most part, as well as the surrounding environments. So we're making great progress. We still have to do more. And I say that looking at Milwaukee and recognizing there are, in some ways, two Milwaukees. There's a Milwaukee that has a lot of development, just remarkable skyscraper type of changes. You know, we're seeing the landscape change in front of us, and many positive directions for the city of Milwaukee, and where UWM plays that part. At the same time, we know the statistics in terms of the disadvantaged that are here, the individuals who don't have economic opportunity, that are in poverty, the children going to bed hungry, the number of schools that we work with that have homeless kids in those schools, and on and on and on. If we look at the achievement gaps. So in that context, UW-Milwaukee is committed and through a number of programs has increased its commitment. This year, for example, we were able to receive funding from the UW system to give what we call mini grants. There are $25,000 mini grants. We gave 8 of them, and we'll be giving at least 8 more next year to look at projects that really turn the needle, things that look at women coming out of prison that have issues with respect to drug and alcohol abuse or income, poverty, reducing strategies, homelessness, avoidance types of approaches. A lot of things that help different populations and community-based initiatives around health, income, education that are existing initiatives that have partnerships with UWM and community or educational organization agencies. So we're committed to making those kinds of differences every day. And so lots more to do, but a good start on further progress in 2016.
As you noted, the demographics are working against higher education right now. But the other thing is, you know, there is the debate, and you pointed it out, about the value of a higher education in light of the debt that is some students have. Some do not, but many are carrying very large debt as they come out of universities. What progress is being made on selling the value of education may not be the exact term, but how do you go about explaining that?
The best way that we can get through reducing the college debt problem is getting students to graduate faster. And there's no question about that. First of all, you need to graduate, because if you're carrying student debt and you don't have the degree, it really inhibits your ability to get that type of job, to have the income opportunities that a college degree affords. In fact, we know from a number of different data points that the average college graduate makes $1 million more than a high school graduate over the course of their career. So there's no question that the income is remarkable, the differential from having the degree. So you have to get that, and it's not just path to graduation. It's called a path to a paycheck. So that's huge. To your point, Dave, the average college graduate with debt, not that all students have debt, but across the country, is over $30,000 today. It's upwards of probably the total debt load is a $1.2 or $1.3 trillion. It's just phenomenal, the total amount of debt. But we have to have students graduate, and I'm really pleased to see our retention rates, which is a measure of persistence towards graduation. Those have increased over the last 2 years, 1% each year. And this is hard to move quickly, but we've moved that up. and we have to move that graduation rate even more dramatically up to have students that have those pathways. From an affordability perspective, I come back to my earlier comment, I don't think you can find a higher value in terms of the quality of the education at a better price point. This is what a public research university in an urban environment is about. Our students get real-world experience in terms of whether they're studying for art history or whether they're in a nursing program, in education, in business, in engineering, you name the major, and our students have the living laboratories that they're getting experience, and they come out and they've got jobs. You know, they've got that remarkable impact to pay those loans back. UWM, like other UW institutions, has students with debt that are in that low $30,000 range, which is something that's incredibly unfortunate. But much of that is a function of debt loads have risen as state investments in higher education have declined. Those two lines are well established nationally, and that's the challenge. As we moved from an environment where 20 to 25 years ago, 75% of the cost of education were picked up by state sources. Today, that number is like 25% overall. And in our particular case, the amount of our operational budget from the state is 17%. So that is where, you know, those cuts come into the UW system. And where does that get picked up? It has to be through either more loans or others that help offset the rising cost mm-hmm. of tuition. And so, this is a national phenomenon, and what's happened in most states is that dramatic decline. So Wisconsin isn't unique. We hope to see in the next state budget some wonderful opportunities as we have aligned our strategic plan with very clear commitments about what we can do to see some help for the system.
I want to shift the conversation a little bit to the new year and some of the things that you see, maybe some of the trends you're seeing nationally and how they apply to UWM, because some of the challenges that you face are certainly not unique to Milwaukee or even to the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, you're right. There's national discussions going on, some of which I've alluded to, but some I haven't talked about. One of them certainly deals with what since the election has occurred, some of the uncertainty and the questions that are out there about what's DACA, which is the support for children after that have been born after their parents have arrived here in the United States, and in particular students from these are immigrant parents that have had kids here and their support in terms of providing what some are describing as sanctuary campus types of environments. And the same thing is happening in cities where we're having those discussions, and you've seen that play out nationally. Chicago, New York, Boston, Los Angeles are having similar discussions. Campuses do have some uncertainty, especially the closer you are to the border. There's some campuses where my colleagues are dealing with 40-50% of their students that are in great fear of deportation and things. So we have that concern. At UWM, the number is more like 200 to 250 students who we estimate would be affected by this. But it's very concerning, and we want to do everything we can, have the faculty engaged, have our administration engaged in providing that whatever kind of support is necessary. We've had a lot more concerns on both sides of the issue around free speech. These are indeed very, very large issues. And so we have had speakers on both sides. We've had political figures on both sides during the course of the election. And so there's a lot of people who are very concerned about when does free speech become hate speech? And we think about this as impermissible speech, and we're going to have campus forums. We're going to have sessions with panels and nationally known experts and regional experts on exactly these issues to raise awareness and education. Our policies and practices are, as a campus, we welcome diverse thought, very different perspectives. That's what campuses do. And we very much, believe the ACLU's perspective on this in terms of protecting and providing that type of environment. So those are a couple of issues, the sanctuary campus, free speech. I do think we've talked about a couple of issues about the use, the role of college education. How does business view it? How do others view it? The issues of state support nationally and how that plays out. I do obviously have my own view on that. not as much as a college administrator or a former faculty, as much as I see, you know, the impact in the world. And I say this from a former, you know, employer perspective as a leader in a business management individual in different organizations. I look at the issue of the talent supply, and I look at the ability for us to have competitive economies, and I look at the role of universities, and I say higher education is the great differentiator. It absolutely is, whether it's at the personal, you know, income, wealth, or at a regional level in terms of the economic impact. And I just see the role of higher education as critical. And I would challenge anybody to think about an economy and say that higher education, especially a research university, doesn't play a critical role in that economy. If you look at Boston, if you look at today what Pittsburgh, the rise and so many things in Pittsburgh, what we know about Silicon Valley, Austin, Texas, and then you go global and you look at major thriving economies, you have a ready supply of talent and available research partnerships that make that big difference. And I can give you a lot of examples of companies that we're working with that say, we need, and you know, 60 more of those, and they're talking about this type of engineer, or 60 more of this software developer, or 55 more of these individuals. They just are so much wanting our university to provide more of that talent. And that's the discussion we have with legislators as we look ahead to 2017. What are we doing to position this state for future successes?
Well, and that gets us to the point of the budget. I would probably guess that one of the most significant activities that still remains on your plate is how to deal with the last budget cut, which I know you're still dealing with, as well as hoping to convince legislators, I'm sure, to fix some of those problems into the next biennial budget.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely correct. You know, in 2015, which was the beginning of the biennial budget that we're still in through the rest of this academic year, we had the largest budget cut in the history of the UW system, three times the size of what our previous cut had been in terms of how it was doled out. The difference is today tuition is frozen, so that's a way we're keeping affordability in check. There is, just as a sidebar, there is an unintended consequence, though. If you freeze tuition and you have to cut class sizes or sections, that actually can take people longer to graduate. So there is an unintended consequence of a tuition freeze if that's sustained. In our case, we hope to see that thaw a little bit. But the big issue, you're right, is because it's a two-year biennial budget, we're still working through that. We've made great progress. We've reduced our salary expenditures 10%. We've reduced our overall headcount about 300 people in the last year and a half. We've reduced administrative expenses 20%. So we've leaned out even further. We're already one of the leanest research universities in the country. We have made still great progress on a lot of positive areas, but we're doing it leaner, and we're doing it in a lesser way.
When the whole discussion came up at the beginning of the biennial budget, some of the discussion was about the fund balances that the university carried, and clearly you and other campuses have had to tap into that fund balance. Some of it was previously encumbered, I know. Some of it was not. But what impact has that had now that you're, you know, 1 year into this? How does this impact UWM in terms of what you're able to do or not able to do on a daily basis?
I'll try to simplify what gets a little complex, and apologize if this takes a moment. UWM, at the beginning of the concerns about fund balances, when the state had a number that was in excess, the UW system had a number that was in excess of $1 billion, we were about $91 million of that. And much of that has been, you know, through the legislative audit bureaus. We look across all the different categories of where those funds are. Much of that for us was really money that was committed to many other things as we were developing and opening new schools. And we had the Zilber School of Public Health, a new School of Freshwater Science, Innovation Campus, and our new Kenwood Interdisciplinary Research Center. So as we opened those and brought those online, we've really brought those numbers down. But some of those numbers build up because you have building projects that you've committed funds toward, new initiatives, in our case, a basketball practice facility and a student union. So you're starting to build these funds, and then you don't have approval to build the buildings, and so the funds stay there. You can't you technically cannot use those funds for anything else, so they sit in your reserves. But in our case, we were at great risk of going through those reserves and actually going in a way that would lead the campus to a very bad financial situation. So we've had to take extreme action to manage our budget to keep that from happening. And today, our reserves are probably in the mid to high 50s, and we want to keep those. We have an operating budget that's overall budget of over $700 million. Our operating budget alone is about $515-520 million. You don't want to have less reserves. You know, it's like in your rainy day savings account, for you to meet your expected payroll, for you to meet, you know, the bills, recognize the cyclical nature of when bills come in and when you have the cash. You need to have some amount of reserve. So that's certainly, we think, reasonable, and we'd like to have that reserve a little bit higher.
So in the very near future, the governor is going to announce his budget. The whole budget debate will kick up again. As you talk to lawmakers, are you able to make a case differently than you did 2 years ago? Are the questions you're getting different than the questions you got 2 years ago? What does your crystal ball tell you?
So from my discussion with legislators, and they have been very positive about, we think that from the days of what we were just discussing in terms of the large era of having excess reserves, that they think there's a tremendous amount of responsibility. They see how we have been managing our budgets in a much more accountable way, and they really see the progress that we have made, and I think that's true across the UW system. I am reasonably optimistic, based on what I hear the governor and legislators talking about today, that our request at the UW system level for $42.5 million that has been appropriately lined up with specific initiatives around economic development, around talent pipelines, around efficiencies, that seems to be a reasonable number. It's not outlandish. It's not hundreds of millions. It's something that is reasonable, and we need to forestall or prevent a cut. At UWM, the discussions that I'm having and presenting even next week to key legislators is our role in economic impact, in economic development, and how we make a difference, and how we make a difference in terms of the talent pipeline, in terms of partnerships, the companies coming in to those meetings with legislators. It's really having them, it's having CEOs, having business community leaders stand up and say, if not for UW-Milwaukee at the scale of 5,000 graduates a year that fill the talent roles, if not for the partnerships that make a difference in all those areas that I've mentioned before, whether it's in the civic and community arts, whether it's in business world, whether it's in specific engineering applications that enable new companies entrepreneurially to grow, name it, name the sector, and we're there making that type of impact. So that's what legislators definitely have a keen ear toward. They want to see that, because we are seen, you know, any state agency is seen as basically having to compete with all the other state agencies against taxpayer dollars. Mm-hmm. And we have this incredible sense of fiscal responsibility that we want to show the impact. And we do that with an economic impact study that shows we have $1.5 billion impact in this area. We have $10 billion. You know, we go through and talk about these different categories. And that's the type of rationale that we are having. It's really third-party advocates, people who come in, because it's not just a faculty member. It's not just an administrator, but it's really students showing what they're doing. It's business executives. It's healthcare leaders. It's others saying, this is the difference that having this organization, UW-Milwaukee, makes in my world. And so that's the arguments that are different than what we're making in the past.
So I want to shift gears again and talk about graduation, the commencement ceremony, which, as I recall, happened on one of the coldest days of the year.
We haven't had, you know, personally here, we haven't had enough of those. I love cold, you know, blizzardy weather. And we did have that weekend plenty of that. And, you know, I will tell you, our Associate Vice Chancellor for Global Inclusion and Engagement, Joan Prince, she's a triple panther. She really came to the rescue, because our graduation commencement speaker, who was going to come up from Chicago couldn't make it with the weather. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people braved remarkably cold temperatures that day to get there. And we had, as I recall, about 2,200 students that were eligible for graduation with a large majority. We filled the Panther Arena. It was a remarkable scene and a lot of joy, a lot of celebration, just one of the most positive days of people's lives. So it was just powerfully great. And Joan knocked it out of the park with her commencement address that she had come together and done in about a 24-hour turnaround.
And obviously you got to highlight a lot of wonderful stories on the part of a lot of students who been able to accomplish a lot of things in the last during their tenure.
Yeah, there's some really great ones. We had some video footage that was put together, you know, just an example or two. We had a gentleman named Taylor Lawton. He had a number of internships that were done in Italy during his time at UWM, and he really created a lot of opportunities for himself with our faculty's input on 3D scanning and printing technology. And what he does is he preserves artifacts and he allows access to them from anywhere in the world. So basically, mm-hmm. instead of archaeology having to rely on drawings or verbal descriptions or in a museum seeing it, you can do with 3D printing today. You can take these designs and you can recreate them anywhere in the world. It's just remarkable. And he, by the way, had been a professional soccer player for the Milwaukee Wave while he was at UWM and did some great things. And so he's now working in Washington, D.C. And this is an example of the global impact that the campus has.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Some of the other things that kept you busy, I know that you made another video greeting, another video. You're becoming a YouTube sensation, I think, here. Right?
Well, we've had some fun with this. And I'll tell you, if it brings positive impact for UWM, if we can showcase and highlight our students, the impact of our donors, the support the community provides, our faculty, staff quality, I'll do it. I'll do it. And one of the fun things is one of the most beloved parts, and I got a lot of comments at graduation about this. More people talked about my dog than me. It was funny. Max gets the credits, and so Max is you know, he's the rock star of the video world, and so I think that's neat.
Well, you know, if the Brewers can have a dog mascot, it's only fair that UWM needs one too.
That's right. That's right.
That's really great. Honorary degrees also awarded.
We had one this year, and it's really impressive. You know, it's very competitive, and so this process has to be so confidential because you don't know who's going to get it. And ultimately, one person who passed through all the different levels, the screens and the different bodies that look at these, was Chris Cagle. And Chris is the owner and chief executive of Wheel and Sprocket. And he has 7 stores in Wisconsin, 1 in Chicagoland. And he's a remarkable story because he attended UWM many years ago, but he didn't quite finish because of the needs. And he, at the time, was a bike mechanic at Wheel and Sprocket, and he ultimately bought out the owner. And he has, for 35, 37 years, worked to build not just a successful business, but the bigger part of Chris Cagle's story is what he's given back and the difference that he's made to 11 or more different national organizations in terms of whether it's multiple sclerosis or the American Cancer Society, or you name the major, you know, MDA, MDS, Leukemia Lymphoma Society, the things that he has done and what he's been involved with to nationally and locally support major causes. And just he's made everybody's world that he touches more positive and successful. So that's what's really neat about him. And unfortunately, he's got a very significant health challenge that he's facing himself, so that we could provide that for Chris and his family. It was really bringing full circle to a lot of things. It was very powerful, very emotional, and just one of the real neat things that I've been able to do as chancellor.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, we wish you all the best as we begin the new calendar year, and we look forward to you joining us again next month.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's always a great pleasure to be with you, and Happy New Year to you.
You've been listening to The Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you would like more information, go to uwm.edu/chancellor.